Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana 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 Yamuna Tira Vanechari Yamuna Tira Vanechari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna
Thank you, Dishana. It was really nice. Beautiful. It's always so wonderful to hear you. Hare Krishna, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. So let us begin. So we'll offer our to our Guru Parampara.
ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपम् सागर जातम सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सगण ललिता श्री विशाखावितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णव्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम पदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर कृषे नमः। I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatara, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely that no one else has ever given. That is Krishna Prema. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sanga Pango Astra Parshadam Yagnahi Sankirtana Praye Yajanti Sumedha Saham. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the glories of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions. Now we offer our prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. नाना शास्त्र विचारनेक निपुणौ षड धर्म संस्थापकौ लोकानाम हितकारिणौ त्रिभुवने मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधा कृष्ण पदारविंद भजना आनंदेन मत्तालिकौ वंदे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ। Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami and Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing religious principles for the benefit of all the human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरों चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायेश्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद। हरे कृष्णा। Please accept my humble obeisances, O British Prabhupada. So, welcome back, everyone. So, today's we are going to start a new theme, second theme. In the first theme, we heard about the ontology. What is it? How Paramatma defined? Paramatma is defined as the expansion of Shri Krishna, the Lord Shri Krishna, for the cosmic manifestation and sustenance. So there is Paramatma. Paramatma is the regulator of both the living entities, Jiva Tattva, and also Prakriti, the material nature. So in the first two lessons, we heard Krishna, Paramatma's role as Kshatragna, as the knower of the field of action. Now, Jiva Tattva is also Kshatragna, of course, but that is in a limited sense.
He knows only his body, and that too also rather imperfectly. Whereas the Paramatma knows everyone's bodies perfectly. Then we saw Paramatma's Purusha manifestations, three Purusha manifestations. Karanadaksha Vishnu, who creates multiple universes. Then each and every universe he expands further and enters there as Garbhadaksha Vishnu. And then further expansion, so Kshirodaksha Vishnu, and he enters everyone's heart, living entities, and also in every atom of the universe. So three Purusha expansions. And then we also saw how, you know, regulates and so on like that. Then we also saw three Guna avatars, the three chief deities, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma takes charge. So Paramatma, Krishna himself expands. Paramatma expands into three for presiding the three gunas or three modes of material nature. Brahma takes charge of the mode of passion for the purpose of creation. Of course, that is secondary creation. And then Lord Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness, Sattva Guna. And Lord Shiva, he expands into Lord Shiva for taking charge of the mode of ignorance. Then we saw the supremacy among the three. And that the main point, the most important point here that we learn is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is Suddha Sattva Guna, pure mode of goodness. So how do we understand that he takes charge of the material mode of goodness for the purpose of sustenance of the universe? You know? So there we went through that Jiva Goswami's explanation that he is indeed Suddha Sattva Guna. He's transcendental. Even though he takes charge of Sattva Guna, material mode of goodness, for the purpose of sustaining the universe, but he never directly associates with that, actually. You know, he's always remains detached from it. In every circumstances, in all circumstances, he remains completely detached from material qualities. And then, so that portion, actually, we are going to hear much more detail the later lessons, actually. So today, I think Makarand Prabhu is showing PowerPoints. So let's have the PowerPoints. So today's lesson, so that brings us to today's lessons, actually. And of course, in the third lessons, we heard about this Guna Avatar, that we just talked about it. So today's we'll cover three lessons, lesson 4, 5, and 6. And here we will hear the ontology of the Jiva Tattva, the living entity, what is and how a living entity is regulated by Paramatma, and also how living entities comes under the influence of Krishna's, the Paramatma's illusory potency, Bahiranga Shakti, external potency. So Maya is under the control of Paramatma. Paramatma also regulates Jiva Tattva, but Jiva Tattva also comes under the influence of Maya, you know. And that is what we are going to look at, that what Jiva Goswami establishes, that, you know. So as soon as PowerPoint starts displayed, so the first slide is basically showing you the second theme that we are studying now. That is the ontology of Jiva Tattva. And that is actually Krishna's Tatastha Shakti, the intermediate potency. There's internal potency and then external potency. External potency is Maya, and Jiva Tattva actually oscillates in between, actually, you know. So here, there are lessons 4 through 6 that we are going to cover today, Krishna willing. In lessons 4 through 6, we are going to look at how Jiva Goswami lists and then explains in great detail about the primary characteristics of the Jivas. You know, there are 21 primary characteristics, what's called Swarupa Lakshana. There are secondary characteristics and then primary characteristics. So that is what we are really going to look at today. And then week, lesson 7 and 8, that is the oneness, and at the same time there is a distinctness between the Jiva and Paramatma. So it's Bheda, Bheda Tattva actually, you know. And so that we will complete by that time. That is 7, 8, and 9 we will do next week. So then we will conclude the second theme, Jiva Tattva. And then before beginning the third theme, which is the ontology of Maya, Maya Tattva, as I said before, what we will do, we will review the highlights, the major highlights of both lesson 1 and 2 before we begin the third lesson. Because the third lesson, it's really the heart of the entire Paramatma Sandham. Very, very long that lesson is that. I mean that Maya Tattva, ontology of Maya. As I said right in the beginning, introduction, Jiva Goswami actually warns us that there is, out of all the six sandarbhas, Paramatma Sandarbha is much deeper in philosophy, very difficult philosophy to understand. But at the same time, Jiva Goswami also blesses us that if we are determined enough, if we're patient enough to go through that philosophy, then there is a big reward also for that. So that is what is required for us to really go through that, the main topic of the entire Paramatma Sandarbha, that is the ontology of Maya, how Maya works. Maya actually puts the Jiva Tattva, Jivas, under illusion. You know, we will hear a little bit in today actually, because we are talking about Jivas. So how Jiva comes under the influence of Maya. And that's a really topic actually, you know. Very, very deep philosophy. And again, at the outset, I must tell you that don't be discouraged actually. It's a very difficult philosophy. But this is not something that is just theoretical or academic. There are practical applications are there. We understand, if we understand this, then we understand the difficulties we all are facing. Could you begin showing PowerPoints, please? So there is what the first PowerPoint, and then second PowerPoint that shows in today's lesson how it breaks out, you know, lesson 4, 5, and 6. So lesson 4 is about this primary characteristics of jivas. That's basically, it's an introduction to jiva tattva. So there are 20 primary characteristics, swarupa lakshana, you know. So that is lesson 4. And lesson 5, how this jiva's potency is intrinsic. It's right in its own nature itself, jiva's nature like that, you know. And then lesson 6, the size of the jiva, as Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, our soul, the atma, is atomic in size. I don't know why it's taking so long. There was some technical difficulties. Yeah, let's wait for a couple of minutes. So while he's showing, let's begin. So as I said, this lesson 4 through 6 is text 19 to 37. We'll cover, you know. In lesson 4 is text 19 through 23, and that is basically an introduction to jiva tattva. So this is the third slide actually. So here in lesson in a text 19 through 47 actually, all 4 to 6, jiva goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami is going to explain the basic aspects of the jiva tattva, the science of the living entities, the elements of individual living being who is under the regulation, as I just said before also, Paramatma, under the regulation of Paramatma, and that to Paramatma regulates Prithi also, material nature. You know. So he begins with the 4 verses from Padma Purana, which describes the basic characteristics of jiva tattva. Now Krishna also does actually in Bhagavad Gita also, the main characteristics that Krishna described, unlike this physical body, material body, which is always ever changing and it's perishable, the spirit soul is unchanging and it's eternal. It cannot be burned, cannot be cut, cannot be sown, like so and so on like that. So those characteristics are also you will see here. But in addition to those, there are quite a few. So there are 21 such characteristics that is listed in Padma Purana. But for it's quite interesting. Jiva Goswami actually shows the another saintly person whose name is Jamatar Muni. You know, Jamatar Muni actually came in the line of Sri Lakshmi Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya, and the Acharya is Ramanuja Acharya. So in that line, Jamatar Muni came actually. So what he does, so there are 4 verses from Padma Purana. So basically, he rephrases those same very 4 verses in his own words. So the question then arises, why did Jiva Goswami present Jamatar Muni's verses in addition to this Padma Purana verses? So basically, they are the same. That was not there actually in Padma Purana 4 verses. There are 3 basic characteristics, and that is what really plays a very, very important role, and that is what Jamatar Muni actually focuses on, that, you know. So that is what we are going to hear, you know. So if you can show the third slide actually, Prabhuji. Yes, there it is. So here, see, Jiva Goswami begins with this citing four verses from Padma Purana and then quoting four more verses of Jamatar Muni. He came in the 14th century, actually. And he came in the line of Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Sampradaya. It's really wonderful, actually, you know. Which paraphrases the same Padma Purana verses. And there he actually says something a little more than that, than what Padma Purana verses says, actually. And so why did you think that's mainly... So this sage, 8 characteristics that are not stated in Padma Purana explicitly, namely this the jiva being the old knowership, you know, self-awareness, and then and the third one is experiential capacity. That is the enjoying mentality that we all have. You know, jivas have this built-in enjoying capacity. That is what it is. You know, in fact, those quizzes I gave you, some of the questions right there. Actually, you know, in fact, I sent you the answers also, so you can compare what the answers you got. The one I gave you that, you know. So you'll see some of the answers right there, you know. So for Vaishnava, it is very essential to acknowledge the jiva as eternally distinct and subservient to Paramatma. Because the Mayavadis, they don't subscribe Paramatma feature, actually. They think jiva, Brahman, when it comes under the influence of the avidya potency of Maya, then Brahman also then becomes a jiva, actually. That is what they say. And the same jiva now become bound, conditioned by the three modes of material nature. But when the jiva regains the Brahman realization, then can become what we call Paramatma. You know? That's what they're saying, that, you know. So for them, there is no separate concept of Paramatma. Jiva Goswami really very, very vehemently refutes that and shows conclusively, and that's the reason why Jiva Goswami actually quotes Srimad Bhagavatam verses as it relates to Jamatar Muni's description of the 21 characteristics. Next PowerPoint. Just a minute, okay, just a minute. Hare Krishna. Okay. I was trying to record that it just stopped, you know. So I'm going to reset it, that one. All right. Okay. So here is. So an object has two types of defining characteristics. There's a primary and secondary. In Sanskrit, it's called Lakshana. So primary is the Swarupa Lakshana, secondary is the Tatastha Lakshana. So the secondary, the extrinsic characteristics, that is given this 5th canto, 11th chapter, text 12, that we saw it actually in the first lesson also. The jiva is conditioned by the mind and thus bound to the material world as opposed to Atma, the soul. Now that's where the we just discussed about the basic difference. That's one of the question in the quiz I gave you, that there is a difference between jiva and atma. it looks like same, one and the same. So there's a spirit soul, but constitutively, spirit soul has nothing to do with Maya, actually. You know? So that is completely pure, unbound, unconditioned. So there is Atma, but when the same Atma, when becomes under the material consciousness, comes under the influence of Maya, then becomes conditioned, bound. So that is what they call Jiva. Jiva Tattva, that is under the, they are conditioned souls. Those are the Jivas, actually. So that's the major difference. So the cause of conditioning is the, and it is time immemorial, it's beginningless. No one can trace when we came under the influence of Maya, you know. But the later lessons you will hear, actually, much more in that, actually, that aspect of it, you know. Even just because we have been right from time immemorial, it doesn't mean that we cannot become free, you know. We can become free from Maya's influence. And then there is a Swarup Lakshana that is intrinsic. This is again based on Jamatara Muni's verses. And here this, and then later in the next week, we will hear from text 37 to 44 how Jivas are integral. They are the part of Paramatma, actually, you know. And so there is a oneness as well as there is a difference between Paramatma. And then some other characteristic we will hear or text 45 to 47. So let's first focus on these first 37 verses. Primarily, they are the 21 characteristics, primary characteristics, based on Jamatara Muni's description of those verses, four verses. So let's hear that four verses. Yes, next PowerPoint. So here, the four verses. The Ark is neither God nor human. This is Sanskrit also. I didn't show you the Sanskrit here. Nor a subhuman, nor is it. So all these characteristics, you can see, clearly you can see, they are bodily characteristics, different bodily forms. Atma has nothing to do with that. So Atma is not God, not human, not subhuman, not animals and so on, like tree, mountain, and so on, like that. It's not the body, nor the senses. It's not the body, nor the senses, mind, vital force. So these are all physical characteristics. The spirit soul has nothing to do with that, you know. So that's very clear. Then the second verse, it is not inert, not mutable. So unlike prakriti, material nature, this soul has consciousness, you know, and that is not mutable, immutable. Krishna also says, Bhagavad Gita also same thing. And it's not just mere consciousness. It is conscious of itself. So this self-awareness is also there. You know? Each of these characteristics, Jiva Goswami actually describes in great detail as we go through this text 1 through 37. 19 to 37. It is the direct referent of the pronoun I that is distinct in each body, atomic, eternal, unblemished. So that's what, again, two kinds of I consciousness. There is Aham Tattva, you know. There is a real Aham Tattva that is desirable because that is based on spirit soul, you know. So there is also individuality, you know. Remember, there's individuality and personality. Personality is due to the kind of body we possess. But the individuality, we are individual spirit souls. And there is we are different souls, actually, you know. So that is required. That is desirable. Characteristic, that desirable, aham tattva, that yes, I am this, you know. But the one which is based on bodily senses, that I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm so and so, I'm engineer, I'm physicist, and so on, and that kind of thing that we use in day to day our material life, that is really based on bodily platform. So that aham is not desirable. That we must understand. So that is what the that's also one of the quiz question I gave you that. So that also Jamata Muni makes clear that. So it is conscious, it pervades the entire body, even though it is an atomic size and it's located in the heart, but it projects its consciousness entire body, throughout the body. It's due to that spirit soul atomic size and located in the heart of the soul, individual living entities. And intrinsically of the nature of consciousness and bliss. And then last point, it is intrinsically endowed with characteristics of knowership. So this is the one which differentiates, which gives different than this the Purana, the Padma Purana does not give. So there are three characteristics, and very, very important to know these things, you know, as we are going to learn in greater depth of characterization of these three, that we must understand. First, that it is knowership, jnatritva, means it's self-aware of himself, you know, that is knowership of his surrounding and himself. As we see, as a kshatragna, he knows his physical body and how its surroundings, prakriti and so on like that. And he knows about himself also. He's self-aware of himself, you know. So that is their knowership. And then it's a doership. We have this capacity to do things, you know. And the third thing is the bhaktutva. That means we have this tendency to enjoy material nature. So that is there also in our nature, you know. So these are the three characteristics that is not given in the Padma Purana verses. So that is why probably why Jiva Goswami introduces this Jamatar Muni's verses actually. Next one. So these are the next, it's a tabular form. All these 21 characteristics are listed here as Jiva Goswami listed that. And I will not go through it because Jiva Goswami goes and explain each of this, you know. So that is what we will go through that, you know. So next PowerPoint. And then he finds a supporting Srimad Bhagavatam verses also actually, you know, for each of them. Next PowerPoint. So we'll begin with the characterization of each of these characteristics. So this text 20, this very nice verse actually, so much to know about it actually, you know, as I'll just point out. Sanskrit, jagrata swapna susuptam cha gunato buddhi vittaya tasam vilakshano jivaha shakshitvena vinishchitaha. So there are three states, three different stages. The mind becomes modified. These are three states of buddhi, intellect. That is what Jiva Goswami actually shows in this verse. This is the verse from this Krishna actually talks to Uddhava in his Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, 13th chapter, text 27. So wakefulness, dreams, deep sleep state are conditional states. Next slide, Krishnapavi. Of the mental faculty. So the mind gets modified. So these are the different mental states. Actually, boils down to the buddhi, the intelligence. And that arises because of the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamoguna, you know. But the living entity, constitutively again, has been ascertained to be completely distinct from these states. You know, it's the mental states that we are talking about in here. So in the wakeful state, the living entity is totally aware of both gross and the subtle bodies, as you see in this PowerPoint. But in a real sense, the jiva is just a witness of all these different states, mental states that he goes through that. So that's his part of his subtle body, you know. So while one is awake or even dreaming state, the mind undergoes modifications according to the external or internal experience, you know. And that's called vritti. It's nature, you know. Whereas in deep sleep, the soul, so subtle and gross bodies are totally inactive. And thus there is no vritti form in the buddhi, sushupti vritti that is called. In the state, there is only the self-awareness of this eye consciousness. Again, I told you that. You know, eye consciousness, there are two kinds. First, that's the real, desirable, that he being a spirit soul, individuality is there. But when he identifies himself with respect to his body, you know, oh, I'm this and I'm that and I'm that, you know, different designation. So that is what is undesirable, actually, you know. So here, what Jiva Goswami is saying, pointing out that in the deep sleep, both subtle and gross bodies are inactive. And thus, there is no vritti formed in the buddhi in terms of these things. So in that state, there's only the self-awareness. So he knows, because he's the one of the characters, the self-awareness. The example is given here. Like in a deep sleep, when we have a nice, wonderful sleep, of course, we are not aware of our physical body because there's no soul is not in touch with this gross body and the subtle body. Even though when he's awakened, he would say that, yes, I slept very well, actually, even though he's not aware when doing the deep sleep. So that means he, as a witness, he knew that he was in deep sleep, you know. So when he's awakened, he tells that he can recall his experience. So that is the real pure eye consciousness, individuality, you know. In a dream state, again, a dream state, he's aware of gross and subtle body, but in a just consciousness wise, actually, you know. So these jiva. Is completely distinct from all these three states of the mind or intelligence, you know, and thus so that's called fourth state, turiya state. The very Sanskrit turiya means fourth state, you know, and so is actually the paramatma. Paramatma is also transcendental to all this that's going on, actually, you know. Next one. So that is this particular verse. Now here again, if you think deeply about it, and I was preparing, I was going through that. Remember, so many Bhagavatam classes and all thing, we learned that that we are supposed to, if you want to become free from Maya's influence, we should be completely detached from our bodily demands, you know. Now, it is easier said than done, actually, you know. When we always wonder, how is it possible? How to become completely detached from bodily demands, you know? It is just not possible because we, you know, we have all this, you know, in office, we have this several deadlines to meet and all this. It is constantly in our mind, actually. And when we become identified with this eye consciousness with respect to the body, then we come into the stressful situation, you know. So then always we wonder, because themselves, that we should remain detached. We should remain as simply a witness of what's going on, actually. But in practical, it's very difficult, right? But here we do, actually, in deep sleep, we are completely unaware of what's going on, actually, you know. Totally, you know. Other than that, that we are simply witness. So that, in a real practicality, we actually do every night, actually. That's what happens, actually, you know. So that is what we need to learn from him. That is what really struck my mind when I came through this thing, you know. So this is again a practical application that I was just telling you about, you know. Okay, text 21. The jiva is free of modification or unchanged. So that, again, that's what the point here. See that it's the mind that is undergoing these different kinds of alterations. Mind, mental state. But the soul remains completely unchanged. He is simply a witness what's going on, actually. You know? So that verse is given here. Visarga adya prashanta bhava dehasya dhatmanaha kalanam eva chandrasya kalen avyakt vartmana. So here, the various states beginning with birth and ending with death are caused by time, whose course cannot be ascertained. They belong to this body alone. So this is what happens, actually. Any body constantly goes changes. Every minute, every second, our body is undergoing change. You know, the cells die, and then new cells generated and so on like that. All the time is going that, you know. Sometimes we are not even aware of that, you know. So that is all the time it's going, and that cannot be ascertained. Because they belong to this physical body, you know, and not to the Atma. Atma is simply a witness, constitutively again, unless we become in material consciousness, you know. So the analogy is given this, the phases of moon, actually, waxing and waning the moon, actually, that goes on, that we see that different waxing phases and waning. But the moon itself, the planet moon, does not undergo anything. It's just the appearance like that. So this is exactly like that, actually. You know? So time here is called avyakta vartana, or that whose path is unmanifest, meaning that is imperceptible. So you see that is what, you know, time is imperceptible. We don't even realize how time passes, you know. So that is the very nature of time, avyakta vartana, whose path is unmanifest, meaning that is imperceptible. So this is something to learn about here, actually, you know, that we have to remain equipoised in all kinds of circumstances. Like I said, it is easier said than difficult, but in a deep sleep, we already do that, actually. Deep sleep, everything we forget, all the deadlines or what we have to do, all this completely we forget, you know, in deep sleep, you know. So that is doable, actually. That is actually we do every night. Next one. So self-awareness and he is totally remains simply a witness of all the bodily activities that's going on. And this text 22, Jiva is not mere consciousness, but also the possessor of the power to know. So he knows what's going on, actually, you know. It's called self-awareness. Because it is the witness, so here the verses Srila Jiva Goswami quotes. It's again the 11th canto, 3rd chapter. So this is the teachings of Navayogendras to King Nimi. Because it is the witness of the variable states, childhood, youth, and so on. So our body goes through different changes. When we go from childhood, youth, middle age, old age, and so on like that, same soul is there throughout. But the body keeps undergoing change. Soul remains the same. You know? So Atma is without birth, growth, decay, or death. You know? Although the Atma is exclusively of the nature of consciousness, present everywhere, eternal and variable, it appears to assume various forms under the influence of sense perception and cognition. Just as the vital force within the body, now we have prana, but there are different kinds of prana, apana, and so on like that. There are five different pranas are there, actually. You know? So the same way here also. Just as a vital force within the body, the one appears as if many in contact with various senses. This is again, now we are talking about not Atma, Jiva. When it becomes conditioned by the three more, when it identifies with the bodily demands and bodily senses, what's going on, then soul also begins to experience this thing. So he becomes aware of these things. You know. But here now, the third canto, chapter 26, chapter verse 5, upon seeing Prakriti create through her modes, three modes of material nature, varieties of progeny with forms corresponding to these modes. So here, the self existing in this world becomes immediately bewildered by the people's power to conceal consciousness. This is what happens. Maya makes us forget. Maya puts us under to the ignorance. Our knowledge is covered by Maya's potency. And that's again one of the quiz question actually. Maya has two, maybe we learned actually in Bhagavad Sandarbha, there are two divisions of Maya, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. You know, it is the Jiva Maya that has this Avaran Shakti. Avaran Shakti means, Avaran means the curtain. So it covers our knowledge, true knowledge, the soul's true knowledge. So soul becomes ignorant now. It comes into the ignorant. So that is the Avaran Shakti. And then the Guna Maya introduces this, then completely changes. It introduces enjoying capacity that it comes into play. You know? And that's where this famous analogy is to play, that the Mayavadis often like to point out that. And I think that's the next one. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 15, that the jnana of the jiva is spurred by ajnana, the avidya potency of Maya. Maya has both jnana potency and avidya potency. Jnana potency means sattva guna, you know. Avidya is rajoguna and tamoguna. So that is what it covers, our knowledge, our true knowledge. And thus jiva becomes bewildered. Next PowerPoint. Even though it has the inherent cognitive capacity, we do have this self-awareness is there, you know, but that is covered by Maya. So this is, we are now beginning to learn how Maya controls us. This is just the beginning. We are going to go in much greater depth, actually, as Jiva Goswami takes us there, you know, how Maya works, actually. So the jnana of Jiva is covered by ajnana. Ajnana means ignorance, you know. And thus the jiva is bewildered, even though it has the inherent cognitive capacity to know things as they are. But jiva takes control of us when the soul comes under the influence of Maya. That means becomes material consciousness. So how can it be covered? So here the analogy is given. If sugar is mixed, so this analogy shows that jiva has inherent, instinctively we know, we are, self-awareness is there, but that is covered by Maya. So it's just like if sugar, which is sweet by nature, of course, but when it is mixed with mud, it will not taste sweet anymore, actually, you know. When it's diluted with the mud, you know. But that doesn't mean that the sugar has lost its sweetness characteristics, its property of sweetness. Similarly, the jiva is intrinsically endowed with jnana or awareness. Then even if it's covered by ignorance, it cannot become ignorant of self as a knowing or conscious being. So that is what it is there. When we become truly knowledge, when we gather knowledge from scriptures or saintly person who introduces us, regain our remembrance of Krishna, then we regain that knowledge again, you know, because Maya cannot function in presence of Krishna consciousness. So we have this inherent capacity, you know, it is temporarily becomes covered by that, you know, by Maya. So this covering is possible because of inconceivable power of. So this is the thing, the question that I gave you in quiz. How does Maya cover? Maya has this achintya shakti, inconceivable potency by which Maya does this. So avaran shakti does that actually, you know, the jiva maya, and guna maya then enters the enjoying objects that brings in our life, actually. Okay, next PowerPoint. So this is text 23 now.
So Jiva has potencies in addition to Jnana. Sa yad ajaya tvajam anushyati gunamscha jushan bhajati sarupata tad anu mrityu apeta bhagaha. Yet the Jiva, due to influence of Maya, embraces ignorance. See, that is the sad part of it, actually, you know. When we come under the influence of Maya, and we let ourselves actually trapped by Maya, you know, even though we do have a capacity, you know, that self-awareness is there, but we let ourselves Maya cover that our inherent capacity to become aware of this thing, you know. And see, so due to inherent influence of Maya, our inconceivable potency, so we willingly embrace ignorance, actually, and delighting in her qualities, adopts a suitable form so to enjoy them, and that enjoying capacity comes, Maya presents herself such elements of enjoyment in our life, you know. So then we completely become disillusioned. So he therefore suffers death, all his good fortunes being lost. That is the given by the Vedas personified in their prayers to the Supreme Lord. Not only the Jiva has the intrinsic capacity, intrinsic potency to know, it also has experiential capacity. So that experience, he learns from that, actually. It can become identified with the empirical body and mind and propensity to enjoy matter. So it becomes trapped now. It has also lost its inherent potency of bliss and energy called apeta bhaga. Apeta bhaga means we have this natural capacity, natural tendency to enjoy, to become happy, to become blissful. That is there, but it becomes lost, actually, you know, when we come under the influence of this Maya's avaran shakti, the Maya's ability to make us forget who we are, you know, who truly we are. We forget about that, you know. But we have that inherent capacity if we become enlightened by a saintly soul. Then we can regain that, actually. That's the nice thing about it, you know. Next one. So this Jiva's potency is intrinsic. That is there, right there. It's a Swarupa Lakshana. It is right there within us, actually. And that is shown here in this verse. Tat sangha, tat sangha, shiteshcharyam. Samsaratam kubharyavat. This verse was actually spoken by the sons of Daksha Prajapati. When Daksha Prajapati is Hariyashas, when they were asked by their father to produce progeny, so they got married and produce progeny. So, in order, just like in throughout Bhagavatam, we learn when you want prayer, and then they go to mountains or such places to worship the Lord, to become purified, and then enter the rest ashram. So here, these sons of Daksha Prajapati also went like that, actually. You know? Of course, on the way they meet Narad Muni, and Narad Muni actually tells them that this is the complete waste of time, and he turns them into Krishna consciousness, actually. Yeah? So that is where this verse was spoken by the sons of Daksha Prajapati, and they become aware, they were enlightened how Maya grabs us, you know, in material life. So they didn't want to enter into this material life, you know. So what is to be gained in this world through the unmeritorious deeds of a man who is unaware that he has fallen from this glory through association with her Maya, and continuously follows her movements like the husband in unchaste woman. Look at that. very graphically shows that. Some of the intrinsic potency of the Maya Jiva gets lost within the grip of Maya. It is unaware of both its true identity and capacities as an eternal spiritual being, and also is unaware of its conditional status. And that is where actually Jiva Goswami also quotes this verse, this allegorical story of King Puranjana. You know, we'll just see in a moment. So basically, we are hearing how Maya takes charge of us, even though we have this capacity to know. You know, Ishvarasya vimuktasya karpanyam uta bandhanam. So here Maitreya Muni says, this is again the question answer. Vidur Mahatma is asking questions, and Maitreya Muni answers. Vidur Muni actually asks, how do we become trapped? Even though constitutionally we have nothing to do with that. And this is going to be discussed in great detail in the later lessons. The entire chapter is devoted to for this particular question, actually. You know, we are going to come to that. You know, I was just studying that just last week when I was preparing for that. This is lesson 15 or so. You know. So Maitreya Muni said, such as Bhagavan's intrinsic potency Maya, which contradicts all logic for the living entity, who by nature is the ruler and liberated experiences misery and bondage. That's how it becomes trapped. Ishvara generally is reserved by Paramatma, but here it is referred to as Jiva, meaning it has some power to control body and senses. That's true, actually. We constitutively, there's a hierarchy, sense objects, senses, mind, and then Jiva, you know, Buddhi and Jiva. So in a real sense, we are supposed to control our mind. But when it becomes material consciousness, the mind we control, mind controls our mind, actually. And mind controls the senses, of course, you know. So we come completely surrender under the bodily demands. And that is what Maya intends to do that, actually. You know? Despite, however, it becomes controlled by Maya. So even though normally we are supposed to control, we do have some control, you know. But we lose that, you know. Not a company potent like Paramatma, who is always free from Maya's influence and her controller. Now, this is where the story of King Puranjana, it's an allegorical story Narad Muni tells to King Bharishad, actually. No? King Bharishad was so much engaged in doing this animal sacrifices, animal slaughtering, in doing Vedic sacrifices, you know, fire sacrifices, in order to go to the higher planetary system so he can enjoy maximally and much greater length, much greater extent. So he was committing a lot of sinful activities, killing a lot of innocent animals, you know, slaughtering. That's when Nath comes in his life to, and then to teach him that what you're doing is not right. He tells the story of King Puranjana. You know, King Puranjana is actually the King Barishad, you know. So King Puranjana, his queen is actually allegorically his buddhi, his intelligence, but his intelligence now controls him, you know. And he lets himself control by his polluted intelligence, you know, because he was so much engrossed by her beauty and the sexual needs and so on like that. And completely then surrender himself to the queen's demands. That is what happens, actually. This is what actually happened. Another example also that we know in Dhruva Maharaj's story, King Uttama Maharaj had these two wives, you know, Suruchi and Suniti. It was the younger queen that he became so much attracted. And the younger queen, knowing that, completely exploits him, actually, you know. And she wouldn't let the elder queen's son, Dhruva, who wanted to sit in the lap of his father, King Uttama, because at that time King Uttama's in his lap, this younger queen's son was already seated there, you know, and she wouldn't let Dhruva Maharaj to sit there, and hold the initial insult, offense Dhruva, this little 5-year boy, and the father completely sits quiet, says nothing, even the most knowing, he knew that complete, total, utter injustice was being done to Dhruva, and does not say a word. Because why? Because he was so much attracted to this younger queen. This is what happens actually here, you know. So that allegorical story also tells the same thing, actually, you know. That how we become trapped by Maya's influence. Even though King was supposed to be controller, King Puranjana, and yet he lets his queen control him. And queen knows that and fully exploits that weakness of the king. That's precisely what happens to us in the real life also. Next one. So this is another verse actually. So here, this is what I just told you about. Next slide, please. This King Puranjana story. This is Narad Muni tells to King Prachin Bharishad, who was engaged in this animal slaughtering to conduct these fire sacrifices in order to go to the higher planetary system. Vipalabdha Mahi Aishwam Sarva Prakriti Vanchita Naichana Anukarota Yagyaha Klebhyat Kridamrugo Yatha. Narad Muni says to Prachin Bharishad, being deluded, Vipralabdha, we become delusioned actually by Maya, and cheated Vanchita of his entire nature by Queen Puranjani. The ignorant King Puranjana importantly imitated his wife without wanting to, like a pet animal. See that? Hand-pecked husbands. They completely let his queen control him, you know, just like this Uttama. The allegorical story to explain the nature of the jiva and his bondage in the material body misidentifies with his intellect, buddhi. See that? So the queen actually signifies his intelligence. So when the intelligence becomes polluted, and polluted intelligence controls ourselves, and so the other way around, then we become victimized. You know? So then jiva misidentifies with his intellect, the buddhi, the notion of I and mine, you know, which is analogous to his queen Puranjani. He behaves like a husband fully under the control of his wife. He has his innate powers. He is a king. Soul is supposed to control his buddhi. But now he lets buddhi control him. His intelligence control him. His polluted intelligence. You know? How unfortunate it could be. But that's the reality of life actually. He has his innate powers, such as cognitive awareness, that are overshadowed when in contact with conditional intellect. This is also one of the questions that I gave you. So, text 27. So, in this section, Jiva Goswami actually elaborates the meaning of the words swasmai, to oneself or self-aware, and swayam prakasha, self-luminous, which appears in the second half of the second verse of Jamatra Muni's quoted in text 19. The word swasmai must be used to make the meaning of swayam prakasha clear. Now, what Jiva Goswami explained to us, that soul, one of the primary characteristic lakshana, is that self-luminous, you know. That means it is not depending upon any other source. Its revelation or realization is fully himself, is capable of realizing that, you know. just as, so this analogy is given a light bulb to see now when there's a light bulb is there, we don't need another light bulb to see that light bulb, because that light bulb is already self-luminous. It is already on, turned on. So we don't need another one, you know. Same thing here also. So the question is here, how can the jiva be self-luminous, since it must depend upon Paramatma? So here again, the Jiva Goswami explains, Paramatma is the supreme intrinsic essence of jiva. It is not an altogether. So jiva is integral part of Paramatma, and Paramatma is all knowing. So just because being a part of Paramatma, we also becomes self-luminous, you know, self-aware. This Paramatma is aware. You know, so in that sense, we are self-luminous. You know. Okay. Let's see. Next one. So here, this is Krishna instructs Uddhava. Again, Krishna is explaining the same situation here. My prakriti made of the modes produces many differences and perceptions of differences. Through prakriti takes many forms. So Krishna is actually explaining how his maya potency works. Basically, it has three: adi atma, adi daiva, and adibhuta. The eye form and the deity of the sun mutually depends on each other to fulfill their functions in the gross eye. Paramatma, however, is independent, like the sun in the sky. Since Paramatma is the sole source, sole cause of the three factors, is different from them, is their cause, and is the revealer of all three, since he is self-revealing. So, adiatma, Adideva and Adibhuta actually are interdependent, you know. Now, here, I think it becomes easier to understand by looking at the analogy here. Now, to see the sun, eyes needed, right? Why then is the sun said to be independent or self-luminous? Although the sun is an object of the eye's perception, it does not need the light of another sun to be seen. So that's why it is. You know. Now, let me read something here. I want to read this to make this point easy to understand. Now I'll read just the Jiva Goswami himself, how he explains this thing. In regard to the first definition, which specifies the intrinsic characteristics of self-luminosity as being independent of any external source, the word swasmai, in regard to its own self, is needed to avoid its being identified as inert, like a lamp, which is also luminous. In regard to the second definition, it is evident that a lamp and similar luminous objects are perceptible, which violates the definition. Hence, the word swasmai is needed to clarify the meaning of the word that succeeds its own prakasha. Therefore, the word swadhrak, self-aware, means swasmai, swayam prakasha, self-revealing, is in regard to the one's own self. Here the commentary here. So Jiva Goswami argues about that if the word swasmai is not used along with swayam prakasha, then the term self-luminous could apply to a light bulb, which is the defect of ativyapi. if the first definition not depend on any other source or illumination, if adapted, this can also apply to a lamp because we do not need another light source to see a lamp. So this again, it's just that analogy says that if bulb is already on, it's already luminescence, we don't need another lamp, another bulb to see that first bulb, you know. So soul is inherently self-luminous, self-know, self-awareness is there. We don't need anybody else, you know. So again, further, just because the self is illuminated by Paramatma, it should not be considered as Paraprakashya, or in other words, as requiring illumination from an external source in the manner like a clay pot. This is because Paramatma is the supreme intrinsic essence of the individual self. And so in the case of a self's illumination, the Paramatma, there's a complete absence of dependence on any other external source for its illumination. So we have this Paramatma, you know, and we are part of Paramatma. So in that regard, we are self-luminous. So this is where Krishna also says the same thing here. My dear Uddhava, now it's very nicely explained here, you know. My Maya consisted of the three gunas, created by these three gunas, varieties of difference, vikalpa, and varieties of intellection related to differences, tadbuddhi. So although it's subject to many kinds of modifications, they are broadly speaking of three categories. So here that Krishna is explaining is Adi Atma, Adi Bhautik, Adi Daivik. So one is Adi Atma, modifications related to the psychological instruments of perception. Then Adi Bhuta, those related to the physical objects perceived. So the Adi Atma means the modifications related to the psychological instruments of perception. And Adi Bhuta, those related to the physical objects perceived. And the other is Adi Daiva, those related to the deistic environmental encoding. This is by the demigods controlling, you know. They call it the instruments to be object. So the faculty of sight, Adi Atma, the visible form is Adi Bhuta. The individual portion of the sun that enters here is the aperture of the eye, actualizes their respective potentials through mutual dependence and interrelationship. So it is kind of very complex, actually. I just wanted to point out the way Jiva Goswami is explaining in these terms. What we need to understand here, that we have this potential, we have this inherent capacity of self-awareness, you know, and still we let ourselves become victimized by Maya. And if we understand that, then we should not let that happen, you know. Just like the King Puranjana story, you know, the queen exploits him because king lets himself becoming a pawn, being played, being let himself be exploited by this queen who is representing his polluted intelligence, you know. So this is what happens when we have this other interest. King was attracted by our beauty and the need, physical need. So he let himself control, and queen, knowing very well, purposefully exploits him. So this is what happens when we have this this materially enjoying capacity, and Maya knows that. So Maya takes charge of us. Maya exploits our weakness to be able to enjoy materially, even though knowing that material happiness is just momentarily, but we allow ourselves to become disillusioned by Maya. This is what the problem is, that, you know. So if you understand that, then this thing would not happen. So this is the way I understood it, you know. Without going to the complexity of this Adi Atma, Adi Bhuta, Adi Daivika, you know. Okay, the next one. So this is text 28 to 31 now. So Jiva is uniform, self-situated, conscious. Is a spelling mistake here. Pervasive in the nature of the consciousness, bliss, and I consciousness. So doesn't undergo any modification plus inherent capacity. That's, so this verse itself says that Ekrupa. This is the Jamatra Muni's verse actually. No, don't undergo any inherent potencies or potencies. So that's called Ekrupa. Situated in its own essential nature, Swarup Bhaka. So naturally endowed with consciousness and bliss, Chidananda Atmaka. Always, so we have this the capacity, we have this tendency to always become blissful. You know, we always look for that. You know? So that is, it's the very nature of ourself as spirit soul. So Jiva is intrinsically endowed with the real sense that I just told you about, I sense, aham tattva, that I am spirit, I am aham brahmasmi, that I am spirit soul. So that is the real aham tattva, the real I consciousness. But when it is the I consciousness becomes polluted, then we become identify ourselves, misidentify ourselves with our physical body, you know. So that is represents the physical body. So during deep sleep, this, so again the same example, the wakeful state, dream state, and deep sleep. So in the deep sleep, our gross body and subtle body, we are completely unaware of the self. Jiva is completely unaware of that. So the connection is lost, you know. The phenomenal or the bodily sense, I is conscious, is non-functional at that time. See that? In a deep, so what we should be doing, we ought to be doing, it is not something that is impossible. We experience that in our deep sleep at ourselves every day and night. Then we become unaware of our bodily demands, because that connection with the soul is not there in a deep sleep, only in the wakeful state or in dream state. So in the wakeful state, it's aware of both gross and subtle bodies, including the I concept. So that's where the bodily consciousness comes into play. You know? In the dream state, however, one is not aware of the gross body in the senses, but consciousness remains connected still to the internal faculties. See that? That's what happens in the dream state. So basically, we are still connected with that. You know. But in a deep sleep state, it's not there. Next one. So now lesson 6, the final lesson. So what did you learn so far? Here we are learning how Maya controls us. We have this knowledge, awareness, what we ought to be doing, you know. But when we come under the grip of Maya, and Maya has this inconceivable potency by which, and it has this two capacities, you know, the Avaran Shakti, it covers our true knowledge, our remembrance of Krishna. So Maya knows that, you know. So she covers our knowledge. So first we become ignorant, agnyan, you know. Our true nature is forgotten. And then her gunamaya, because of the three modes, she presents some attractive things that we become trapped. We have a hard time to resist. So some enjoying objects, she presents the second aspect of it, the Gunamaya. Jivamaya takes real knowledge away, Gunamaya provides, so it's complete control, complete illusion. this is an example I gave you before also. What happens when a person visits a liquor place, you know, a bar, you know? So because the influence of the drink, his true knowledge is wisdom, able to distinguish what is good and what is not good, is completely lost. So he willingly allows himself by drinking liquor, that power is gone now. You know? So that is what Maya's Avaranthati does. And then in the liquor store, a beautiful, attractive woman approaches you, young woman. So that is one which is hard to resist. And already your capacity to differentiate what is good for us and what is not good for us is already lost. So then we become trapped, we become attracted that person under the liquor's influence. That young girl takes full advantage of him. You know? So this is exactly what the Maya works at. This is how it happens. Even though we do have this natural capacity to know what is right, what is wrong, but we let ourselves control by that. King Puranjana story, again, the same thing. Because we want to enjoy. This enjoying capacity is there. That propensity is there. A material enjoying capacity. Material enjoying propensity. And that what Maya knows, and Maya takes full charge of that and covers our intelligence. So this is what we learned here. The most important highlight of that, you know. We are going to know much more deeper as we go progress in the further lessons. In fact, the third theme is all about how Maya works. In this second theme, what we are learning, how we are affected, because we are learning about the ontology of Jiva Tattva. What is our capacity? What are our characteristics? Swarup Lakshana. That is what, in that regard, in that context, we are learning the role of Maya. We ourselves willingly become victimized. That what happens because we have this tremendous burning desire to enjoy. This is a part of our nature. Bhoktutva. You know, three characteristics: the self-awareness, jnana, the doership. The third thing is this bhoktutva. Bhoktutva means enjoying propensity. We have that, and that is what Maya takes full advantage of that. You know. So here, the final lesson here, text 32 to 37, a distinct jiva, now here the jiva is of atomic size, that is being discussed here, and each body. So jiva has this real eye consciousness. Again, I told you what is eye, real eye consciousness, the true eye consciousness, then we are spirit soul. We have nothing to do with this physical being. You know? And the polluted eye consciousness, what the body demands. We let ourselves be victimized by our bodily demands. Bodily demand means we want to enjoy materially. So our real consciousness, we do have that. The intrinsic to the self's inherent identity, there must be separate. So that itself will tell you that we have this real I consciousness, that I am this soul. So that means that individual is there, that itself tells you that there are multiple jivas, multiple individualities are there, you know. So no two jivas are same. So there must be a separate jiva in each body to maintain the concept of individuality. Each body has one soul, that's what. However, the concept of oneness of the jiva is contrary to the above conclusion. So therefore, Jiva Goswami refers to this particular verse actually, you know. And I will read the translation. If the substantive called the self is utterly devoid of multiplicity, then how could a question such as that even arise to you, O Brahmanas? Again, this is from the 11th canto. So Krishna is telling, instructing Uddhava. What particularities could possibly form the basis of my reply? Your question, who are you? Now, if it relates to the physical body, it's just a mini less sequence of words, since the what is the living entities are identical. So now this is where they actually the story comes, the four Kumaras, you know. Now this is the question that was four Kumaras actually asked their father, Lord Brahma, you know, that how living entity comes under this material consciousness, you know. So how to prevent that, you know. So Lord Brahma could not come up with the right answer. So he takes, at that time, the Lord appears as Hamsa Avatara, you know, as a swan incarnation. So to enlighten the four Kumaras about that question. So first thing, when they saw the swan incarnation, the four Kumaras, first they ask, who are you, you know. So that is where swan incarnation of the Lord gives that answer. What do you mean by who am I, actually? In one sense, I'm no different than you, actually, because we both are spirit souls, you know. So here, four Kumaras question to the Lord swan incarnation. How one desiring liberation can untie the right note between the spirit soul and matter? So this is the fundamental question, actually. This identity, matter and spirit soul, you know. We are individual spirit souls, but we have this tremendous, tremendous propensity to enjoyment. And that is right from the very beginning, time immemorial, you know. So this tight knot we cannot untie ourselves. You know that verse? All begin with death, chanting of the holy name, hearing of Krishna. He takes away from the influence of the lower modes of material nature. That is where this thing comes into play, actually. No? So this is right here. So so the four Kumaras were actually asking how to untie that knot between matter and spirit. You know, so they are asking the Lord, who are you? So from the Lord's response, it appeared that there is no difference among the jivas. Qualitatively, there is no difference. But each jiva is individual is there. You know? So oneness concept being non-different from Brahma. The Kumaras, Brahma, because he's saying that why? Because Kumaras at that point, they were in this jnana platform. You know, so to relate them, that's what he says that. So we are in one, we are not different. You and I, Lord says, are not different. Qualitatively, we are both spirit souls, actually. No? But no difference between the questioner and the question. If related to the body, again, there's no difference. Because all bodies are made of the same five elements, gross elements. You know, factually, however, all jivas are individuals. So, Jiva Goswami then quotes this, the Shrutis, personified Shrutis prayers. Again, in the context of this issue, actually, there are different Jivas in different bodies, and that each one are individual souls, actually. The individuality is there, actually. So, different Jivas in each body. So, Jamatri Muni offers another reason. Different Jivas in each body, because of its atomic size, infuses consciousness into the whole body because of innate quality. So each soul, the consciousness is the symptomatic presence, the soul is his consciousness. So the now issue comes here. The soul is atomic size. Again, that's also a quiz question also. How does it pervade entire body with consciousness, you know, even though it is only atomic size and located in one small part of the body, you know, but the entire body being infused with consciousness. So here is another verse from 11th canto, again Krishna to Uddhava. Among infinitesimal things, he is the jiva, Lord himself said. Even being of atomic size, the jiva has the inherent capacity by which it propagates its consciousness toward the entire body. So even the atomic size, the question was that how does it propagate consciousness toward the body? Because the inconceivable power of the jiva, you know. So that has an inherent capacity to propagate its consciousness throughout the entire body. although situated in just one part of it. So it's like light bulb, a light bulb there in one corner of the room, the entire room becomes illuminated. So scientifically, though, we know that the intensity of the light diminishes over distance. This is my point of view. We know that it's the intensity of the light diminishes. It's inverse, in a proportional to the square of the distance. You know, it be inversely proportional. So that is there. So, but here, in the soul projecting consciousness throughout the body, is equal. Doesn't matter the distance from heart to legs and so on like that. So that is the point I just raised that actually. So this analogy doesn't actually explain that particularly. So it's inversely proportional square root of the distance. However, we don't see this relationship with respect to the soul's extension of consciousness toward the body. How do we understand this? I don't know yet, but we must meditate on this. So this is the point that occurred to me when I was preparing for this class, you know. The analogy is given here, but that really doesn't perfectly explain that, you know. Soul propagating consciousness, it doesn't decrease, you know, with respect to the distance as normally it does happen if this analogy works, you know. So there must be some better explanation for that. All right. Next one. While Paramatma is all-pervading, it is not proper to conclude that the Jiva too is all-pervading. Since it is an integrated part of Bhagavan, or Paramatma, the part obviously cannot be all-pervading. That is there, of course, you know. So, but then Jiva Goswami cites this Bhagavad Gita verse, you know, 224, in which Krishna says, Jiva is sarvagata, all-pervading. So these questions, the atomic size of it. So again, this is also a quiz question. When Krishna says this soul is all pervading, here Jiva Goswami says, no, it's not. So Jiva Goswami explained, sarvagata doesn't necessarily mean all pervading in its own sense. But since it is situated within Bhagavan, it is all pervading and is dependent upon him, Jiva is said to be all pervading. So in that sense, Jiva Goswami, that Krishna's statement, you know. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also offers alternate explanation. Jiva is all-pervading in the body by virtue of his consciousness. So next, Jiva Goswami explains the Jiva's four characteristics: eternal, pure, the all-knowing capacity, and capacity to act, doership. Next one. So, Jiva Goswami discusses all this in at great length, each of these 21 characteristics. Primary Lakshana, Swarup Lakshana of Jiva. Next one. Jiva is the witness of the actions of the mind and body, and thus has the capacity to know. This cognitive awareness is its natural characteristic, so its eternality. Again, the Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakriya Kriyamanani, Gunai Karmani Sarvasaha, Ankar Vimudatma, that verse state that Jiva, under the bodily conception of life, thinks that himself the doer, although all actions are carried out by the modes of nature. So the body cannot act without consciousness. This statement is meant only in a secondary sense. Thinking is also an action, which also implies will. So here, Jiva Goswami by quoting his words, what he's saying, that the Jiva has this doership capacity, or mentality, or characteristics, is in that particular sense. In reality, we all know that it is the three material nature are the doers. Only when under illusion, Vimudatma, he thinks he is a doer. So that's exactly what Jiva Goswami is pointing out, that you know, only in this this consciousness, secondary sense, that he is in action. Jiva Goswami also explains that when an action is undertaken for one's own sensual pleasure, it is in material consciousness. If, however, the action is executed for the pleasure of the Lord, it is beyond material qualities, nirguna. Therefore, action is possible even in the liberated state. It's in that regard. All right. So this is the final slide now. So to experience enjoyment or suffering, one has to be conscious. Therefore, the material body and mind, being inert, cannot be the subject of experience. So soul has to be involved in that, isn't it? It's just this, the feeling of happiness and misery rooted in the jiva as Purusha. Okay, the last verse, text 37. Jiva is an integral part of Paramatma. As noted in text 1, Paramatma is an expansion of Bhagavan, its sole purpose of cosmic manifestation, whose purpose is to regulate the jiva and the material energy. Bhagavan's threefold potencies, intrinsic, extrinsic, and intermediary, intrinsic by Lord Swarupa Shakti, external energy is Maya, and Tatasna Shakti, the marginal potency, is the jivas. Jiva cannot be completely under Maya because of being conscious. Two, under intrinsic potency of Paramatma, translated to Maya because of being influenced by Maya. Thus, the difference between the jiva and Paramatma is in it. That means it's natural. Both on the condition as well as in liberated state. So again, this is the showing why jiva is considered as a tatastha shakti. It's oscillating between Lord's internal potency and external potency. There is internal potency, it's free from the influence of Maya because Lord's internal potency protects it. But when jiva is attracted to Maya, that's external potency of Maya, then it goes to the other, the pendulum moves to the right side. You know, so it constantly moves back and forth. So oneness between jiva and Paramatma, however, is in the sense of jiva being the energy and Paramatma being the energetic. So this is what it is. You know, how jiva and Paramatma could be same as well as different, distinct. Same because one is energy, and one is the possessor of that energy, energetic. So in that sense, they are both same, you know, similar. However, the difference is also there. The one who is energetic is the one who controls energy. It's not the other way around. So there's a difference at the same. Again, that issue, this issue is going to be further discussed later. So why does scripture speak of both oneness and distinctness, difference? Because scripture says both jnanis and bhaktas. Jnanis, on that platform, they think this, like Mayavadis, you know, this. Then jiva and Paramatma are one and the same. You know. Only jiva in avidya potency, that is Brahman is jiva. Brahman, when jiva becomes Brahman realization, then it becomes Paramatma. That's the only way they see it. You know. So jnani's understanding is that nature. You know. So for that purpose, oneness is, scripture shows that. And but the devotees, they don't see on oneness. We don't see ourselves on the same platform as that of Paramatma. They are always subservient, subordinate to Paramatma. Yeah. And we are being regulated by Paramatma. So for devotees, that's why scriptures, there's also reference, there's a distinct difference between jiva and Paramatma. Okay. So again, this is just an introductory class, session of Jiva Tattva. We are going to learn much more detail. The main point here, what we heard today, is this inherent capacity, inherent awareness, this properties, lakshana, characteristics, qualities of the jiva that we learned. There are 21 different types. The three major important thing that we need to remember is this distinctiveness, jnana. You know? And second one is doership. Third one is this this enjoying capacity that we have. That, you know, these three, because of these three, sometimes we come into this Maya's influence. You know, and how to become free? That how Maya controls us. That help us to understand that. And as I said, this is introduction. We are going to learn more in the next theme, third theme, how Maya operates in much, much greater details. The bulk of Paramatma Sandarbha is all about this, how Maya works. And it's really fascinating, really fascinating. As I have been preparing for this, like I said, I prepared PowerPoints all the way up to lesson 18. You know? So the last six lessons are remaining. So I completed all until all how Maya, the Maya Tattva, the ontology of Maya that works. You know? And it's really mind-boggling. So I'll stop here and see if there are questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Makarantu is here. The jiva is an integrated part of Paramatma, as mentioned under text 37, creating some confusion how an integrated part can have individuality.
Very good question. Subhaji, individual, integrated part means we are integrated part of Paramatma, but we still have individuality as a soul. You know, we are individual souls in that sense. We have this individuality. Paramatma is an aggregate of that. Paramatma controls us, regulates us. The whole this question I'm trying to read in passage quickly. So jiva is an integrated part of Paramatma, as mentioned under the 27 text 37, creating some confusion how integrated part can have individuality. Because we are spirit souls, that's why we are individuals in that sense. Look, like instance now, if we have a nation, I don't know, that's a crude example actually. If, let's say, in the family, the family members are integrated part of the entire family, right? But still, all family members, they are individuals in that sense. Of course, they are all individuals. But as a family, they are integrated parts. So in that sense, I'm talking about it's mentioned here. It appears that jiva is not independent to act as material nature. It's superimposed on him. Then why he is made responsible utilizing his choice by undergoing sufferings. Sarathu, wait till you come to the lessons. All these things are explained very clearly. You know, because of our free will, Lord has given us free will, and we exercise our free will, and sometimes more often than not in the right way, and that is why we become trapped. Just like a King Puranjana story, an example, analogy is given, because the king had this weakness. He was attracted by the beauty of his queen, and he needed to enjoy that queen, you know. And queen knew that, and she really exploited the king's weakness, you know. So whatever she demanded, he had to give her, you know. So this is why the Maya knows we have this enjoying propensity. Material enjoying propensity, Maya knows. And we also have the tendency to forget Krishna.
She also knows that. In the later lessons, it is explained that actually. And that is why she takes full advantage of that. So she covers our knowledge of Krishna. She makes us forget, you know. And then she takes control of that. And then she provides. So that is my Jiva Maya portion of it. And Guna Maya then provides all an attractive objects, brings in our life, you know. That is very, very hard to resist. Just like I give an example of that a person going to a bar and under the influence of liquor, his capacity to differentiate between good and not so good, what is good for him and what is not good for him, he loses that capacity. And then this beautiful woman comes and he finds very, very hard to resist. Yeah. So then the Maya takes complete charge, like the complete puts us under delusion. So we have that that free will, and we take advantage of Maya takes advantage of that. So you are saying that why then Jiva is why is he made responsible for utilizing his choice by undergoing suffering? Not using his free will. That's why there's a prayer of our Acharya that we pray to Krishna that Krishna, please take charge of our senses because we are unable to know, make right choice, you know. Thank you, Prabhuji. Sanjay Prabhu, very complex topic, but thanks to you in summarizing. So you see, these philosophies are very, very complex, very difficult to understand. But I try to see what is the central point in that, you know. And I make my best effort to understand that. And remember, this is still ongoing. This is just the introductory part of it. The heart of that entire part is something we are going to enter now, you know. So next week we'll be completing first two themes, and the following week we'll have a review session. Again, we will focus on the main highlights, and we want to understand clearly the highlights of these lessons, and then we'll proceed the third theme, which is Maya, and that takes a bulk of the Paramatma Sandarbha. Again, we'll have a review session before going to the fourth and the final theme. So that is why I'm taking a step-by-step approach and see if you can understand that, all right? I'll try my best. Hare Krishna. Okay, so if there are no further questions, I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class. Hare Bol, Dishana.
Hare Krishna. Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya, Praladaladadayine, Praladaladadayine, Hiranyakashipurvakshaha, Hiranyakashipurvakshaha, Shilatankha Nakalaye, Shilatankha Nakalaye, Ito Narsimho Parato Narsimho, Ito Narsimho Parato Narsimho, Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimho, Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimho, Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho, Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho, Narsimhamadim Sharanam Prapade, Narsimhamadim Sharanam Prapade, తవకర కమల నఖం అద్భుత శృంగం దళిత హిరణ్యకశిపు తనుభృంగం కేశవధృతానర హరి రూప జయ జగదీశ హరి జయ జగదీశ హరి జయ జగదీశ హరి కేశవధృతానర హరి రూప జయ జగదీశ హరి జయ జగదీశ హరి జయ జగదీశ హరి జయ నరసింహదేవ్ జయ నరసింహదేవ్ జయ నరసింహదేవ్ జయ నరసింహదేవ్ జయ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ జయ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ జయ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ జయ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ నితాయ గౌర హరిబోల్ 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 నితాయ గౌర హరిబోల్ జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద్ 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 జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద్ జయ జయ గురుదేవ్ 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 జయ జయ గురుదేవ్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది డివోటీస్ హరే కృష్ణ.
Thank you very much, Dishana. Thank you so much. Makarantapu, your question is a very good question. Actually, our inherent capacity, those characteristics, internal characteristics that we have, is never lost, actually. The Maya, what Maya just covers, you know, our self-awareness and so on like that. Our Jnana is covered by Ajnana. So, that doesn't mean that we lost, actually. So there is always a chance, opportunity to regain that remembrance of Krishna and regain that knowledge. When we come to Krishna Conscious Platform, we regain the transcendental knowledge, who really we are. You know, remember that those verses I keep saying all the time, simply hearing about Krishna, the lower modes are converted into the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness gives the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, and Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam that help us to regain that knowledge, the true knowledge, who we are, Drashta Evatmani Ishwara, you know. So that is never lost, you know. That's the point. We are going to continue that, all right? Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to all the Vaishnavas, all the glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Jiva Goswami. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Okay, I'll see you next week. Hari Bol. So next week, we'll conclude the second theme, and then we'll have a review class. Hari Bol.